Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This week on the Mike Wise Show, injuries continue to be a main story in the NBA Conference Finals. The coaching carousel keeps going round and round, and the Pistons were the winners of the NBA draft lottery. We got a lot to unpack, but first, Darlene, do your thing.
The Mike Wise Show is a presentation of Pure Hoops Media. The Mike Wise Show is hosted by a guy who played basketball atrociously for Hawaii Pacific College, which forced him into journalism. And, oh yeah, he wrote about basketball for the New York Times, the Washington Post, and ESPN. He's also a wise ass, and so are many of his guests, right, Mike?
Thanks, Darlene. The conference finals are turning the corner and heading for home. And while Phoenix and Milwaukee appear to be heading toward a date in the NBA finals, injuries to key players continue to cast a shadow over both series. This week, my producer, Bruce Bernstein, joins me to add a bit of perspective and try to make sense of the proceedings. Hello, Bruce.
Hello, Mike. It was another interesting weekend on the court, that's for sure. And I hear an NBA referee might be granted a playoff share by Milwaukee, but we'll talk a little more about that in a few minutes.
We have to start on Sunday night, indeed. Chris Middleton, absolute stud, 38 points, 20 in the final quarter, when he outscored Atlanta's entire team 20-17. Milwaukee now leads the series 2-1. Middleton is simply, I think I was watching him yesterday, and I was thinking to myself that he reminds me of an old school player in that he shoots the three well, but he doesn't rely on it. He's got a great mid-range game, like, I don't know, a Purvis Short back in the day, or somebody that that sort of like took a couple of dribbles to get closer to the rim so they could shoot more accurately. And he's not like wildly athletic, but he does all these smart, quick things. He's who was on that? John Wooden had a player like that a while ago on UCLA, like it was in the 70s. And he reminded me of him a lot. It wasn't Marcus Johnson.
Jamal Wilkes?
Kind of a Keith Wilkes-like. Yeah, kind of silk. He's got a silk in him. Yeah, that's good. I like Jamal Wilkes. There was another player, too, I'm thinking of. But anyway, the bottom line is I like him because I'm old. And anybody that looks like they have an old game, I like. And he's so indispensable. I think he's... I don't want to say more mentally tough than Giannis, but Giannis is still a little younger. Chris Middleton is learning all these, you know, like Chris Middleton is, you don't doubt his ability to make two shots at the free throw line in the final 5 seconds of a game. And so I think he's indispensable. I think he's one of my favorite players in the league because he's not wildly athletic. He doesn't shoot from the parking lot every day. He's just a great basketball player all around.
He seems to me like a guy who's very mentally strong. Like he can, because he can have some of these tough shooting nights where he'll go like 6-for-22 or whatever, but then he'll come back the next night and, you know, he's a shooter, and shooters got to keep shooting. I mean, they got to shoot through those slumps. And certainly on Sunday night, he didn't get off to a blazing start. You know, he missed some shots early on. But once he got it going, man, I mean, he's just a wonderful story. I mean, he's the only guy that was a G League player that became an all-star. And when you have that kind of a background, it just shows you probably take nothing for granted. You work your tail off. You work on your game. He's very humble. He's a very nice guy. And I couldn't be happier for Chris Middleton. I'm just, you know, I'm thrilled for him.
Yeah, so he was a G League guy. So he was... Maybe I'm getting it. Where did he play college?
I think he went to Texas A&M.
Yeah, he did. He did. I'm getting him confused with the kid from Providence.
Chris Dunn?
Chris Dunn, yeah, for some reason. I got him confused for a minute for Chris Dunn. But yeah, you're right. He is an unbelievable story with the G League and everything he's done to become, you know, a special player in this league. I like him. I still don't know if the Bucks get to the promised land, only because, well, is how bad is Trae Young hurt, you think?
We don't really know. I mean, but when he stepped on Sean Wright's foot, which, you know, he went out of the game, he came back in the fourth quarter, but you could see he made that one three that was about a 27 footer, but he just wasn't moving. And look, Trae Young, because of the way he plays and because he's a little guy, if a little guy isn't at full strength physically, I mean, he's going to be destroyed on defense. I mean, he's not going to be able to move. He's not going to be able to guard. And it's just a shame. So hopefully he's getting treatment. And when he comes back on Tuesday night, he's going to be close to 100%. But, you know, these ankles.
I want him to be 100% only because. So Sean Wright, the referees whose foot he stepped on, is cleared of charges. From the Atlanta district attorney. I mean, to me, this is what county is that in Atlanta?
Fulton County.
Yeah, the Fulton County district attorney will go after Sean Wright if Trae Young is hobbled for the rest of the series and they lose this.
Whether or not that was really Sean Wright's fault. And, you know, there's, you know, Ryan McDonough, who is a former GM, he does a show. He says that Sean Wright is not to blame. He was out of bounds when Trae Young was backing up and stepped on his foot. But yeah. When I looked at the replay, and I think Sean's foot was on the line, so he may have technically been in bounds. But regardless, I mean, it's just a shame. I mean, injuries have made such a mess out of these playoffs. Something freakish like that. Just, you know, Trae Young, you know, he's been like the breakout guy in this year's playoffs.
And he's, I wonder, I, at this point, it doesn't matter because neither of the two Eastern Conference teams are thought of as large markets, even though Atlanta's a bigger city. But I wonder if Milwaukee or Atlanta draws bigger ratings. I think because of Giannis and just sort of his Q rating, he would. But then again, Trae Young has just become like, you know, the Allen Iverson, Steph Curry, Tiny Archibald, whatever you call him, of these playoffs. And he's that eye candy. He's the most fun thing to watch. And I would argue that Trae Young leading like a real comeback story, because they were a fifth seed, right? Mm-hmm. That would be a better story in some ways than Giannis and Milwaukee going for their first title since, oh my gosh, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in 1971.
It was before he was even Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Lou Alcindor and Oscar Robertson's one title. Yeah, that was it. I don't even think the Bucks never got to another. Well, did they get to another finals against the Celtics when they were in the Western Conference?
Yeah, in 74, they played the Celtics in the finals.
Right, that was their last. That was their last franchise finals.
Yeah, and it was essentially the same crew. Although I don't know if Big O had maybe retired by then, but you know, Bobby Dandridge, who ended up later winning one with the Washington Bullets.
Yes,
he was a young player on that team. So it's been a minute for those guys.
So I just think that Trae Young is he's. He's instant TV. He's what, you know, he's the it thing right now in the NBA playoffs. So speaking of injuries, the Western Conference final between the Suns and Clippers has been severely impacted by the absence of Kawhi Leonard. I'm blown away that the Clippers are even in this, to be honest. They beat Utah without Kawhi Leonard, at least the last two games, was it?
Correct.
And Paul George has had some great performances and he had great numbers on Saturday, but the Clippers fell short on their home court. I just thought it was a part of attrition for them. I don't know, man. As much as I love watching Devin Booker, I still like this Clippers team. And I think that would be such a great comeback if they could do it from 3-1. Terrence Mann is just a breakout star. He's that indispensable role player that every team now wants and wishes they had. So many pieces to their team that are they're nice guys, you know, like nice pieces and people that you want, people that you would want to play with if you were a great player like Kawhi or Paul George. So I don't know. I'm going to have some melancholy if the Clippers actually go down in five.
Well, you know what? It's asking a lot of them to somehow or another win a series against a team who had a better record than them during the regular season without their number one player. I mean, Paul George has really, you know, look, I've not always been the biggest Paul George fan. He always impressed me as one of those guys who was, you know, good in the regular season, put up the numbers, whatever. But when it came time to winning time in the playoffs, it always seemed that he came up a little bit short. That said, he's been very heroic in this postseason. I think Paul George, you know, he's won me over. I mean, I'm not going to say he's better than Kawhi Leonard, but he's definitely, a star player in this league. And I feel bad for him because there's really only so much he can do. I mean, they're going up against a team that is young, athletic, but also has great leadership with CP3 and you know, Booker's. I've heard people say, oh, you know, he's looking like he could be the next, you know, version of a Kobe Bryant type of a performer, which is an amazing comment to make. But look, I mean, you know, talk about bucket
getters. No, Kobe's his sort of, Kobe was his idol, wasn't he?
Yeah, I believe so.
And Kobe had sort of told him, he takes these words from Kobe as gospel, you know, you're going to be the next, and you're going to all this. And Booker is, I mean, he's just fun to watch. He's great. He can shoot from anywhere. And more than anything, he has that, what I call it, he's got the Kobe sneer. He's got that orneriness, that nastiness, that sort of that, I don't care what you do, I am going to find a way to beat you. And, you know, so he's Kobe in training. Let's put it that way. DeAndre Ayton has been great. Look, you can't go wrong either way. The Clippers, I mean, the Suns were undefeated in the bubble last year and, you know, like look basically could have been, you know, in the mix. And look, I mean, look what they've done all through the playoffs. And so after become, you know, what were they, the second worst team in the league a couple years ago?
They haven't been in the finals for close to 30 years. I mean, 1993. Yeah. I mean, it's been they had some good teams with Steve Nash and, you know, Amari Stoudemire.
That was one of the great teams that never won a title.
That's true. But I mean, for the last 10 years, they've been like off the radar.
Yeah. So you can't go wrong either way. I think it's a good storyline. I wonder if America's going to buy it. I have no idea what the ratings are lately, but I just wonder what the network executives are thinking. A Phoenix Milwaukee series, I mean, that's a tough sell. You know, not only are you not having a LeBron, you know, you won't have a LeBron James in the finals for the first time in forever. 2 years ago when they didn't make the playoffs, but after that, he was in every finals, whether he lost or won. He was your antagonist or your protagonist, depending on who you rooted for. And now you've not only not got an LA team, if the Phoenix Suns go on to win, you have one of the smallest market teams in America in Milwaukee. I think it's great when it comes to parity in the league. I'm sure people around the country are going that aren't, you know, in NBA world and are the bean counters are going, oh no, what are we doing? How do we just put steroids into LeBron James and say that there was a awful miscarriage of justice in the first round of the playoffs and the Lakers are installed? I mean, it's really tough to sell that to anybody.
Well, you know, I know that everybody always talks about, well, will the casual fans watch? You know, probably not. Okay. However, for those people who really enjoy the sport and enjoy the game, a Phoenix-Milwaukee finals, I think, has some excellent storylines in it. I mean, look, who can possibly contend with the Greek Freak? DeAndre Ayton can probably contend with the Greek Freak. I mean, DeAndre, although he's only a third-year player, look what he did on Saturday night. He had 19 points. He had 22 rebounds. He had 9 offensive rebounds, played 41 minutes, okay? And I mean, CP3 and Booker were really just kind of generic on Saturday night. I think between the two of them, they were 14 for 44, right? DeAndre Ayton is a difference maker. And what you got to love about DeAndre Ayton is, like, for a third year guy, he kind of knows what he can't do or shouldn't do. And he seems like a very mature guy out there. He gives him a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and never oversteps what he, you know, you'll never see the guy shoot a three-pointer. You know, maybe if he ended up with the ball with the shot clock running down, he would. But he plays within himself. He seems like, you know, he's just, you know, he's just an ideal third wheel for a team with Chris Paul and Devin Booker. So I think the Phoenix-Milwaukee series will be very interesting. And I know that I'm probably the only person in America that's thinking this way, but if you go all the way back to the coin flip for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, then Lou Alcindor back in 1968 or 69.
Well, Jerry Sloan, I mean, I'm sorry, not Jerry Sloan.
Colangelo.
Jerry Colangelo's thinking this way.
Well, if I'm thinking the same way that Jerry Colangelo's thinking, I'm going to pat myself on the back for that one, Mike.
Yeah, he's friends with Clint Eastwood. You know that, right?
I think they'd like to play golf with one another. And
yeah, they do. You know. Clint Eastwood, I didn't even know. I mean, that's like one of those alive or dead. It's like Weekend at Clint's. I don't know. You know, you got to prop him up at this point, don't you?
Why couldn't they invite?
Still directing.
Why couldn't Jerry and Clint invite you and I to play golf? That would be a really fun foursome, I think. We'd have a good time.
My guess is that they would ask us to come, and we would have no idea that we were their caddies until we got there. All right. There are a lot of coaching carousel stuff. What was I going to say? Oh, I was going to mention real quick, if the Clippers found a way to come back from 3-1, it's not only a great story, but Chris Paul would be playing, and Atlanta came back to win that series. If the Phoenix closes out the Clippers, let me reverse that, and Trae Young got healthy and found a way to win, Trae Young versus Chris Paul, old versus new, and even better yet, talk about a commercial bonus here. Chris Farm would be playing in Atlanta at the State Farm Arena. I mean, Jake from State Farm would be like the celebrity of the whole finals, right? It would like it's. Just
I wonder if he can sing. Maybe he could do the anthem. How great would that be?
I don't care. I think Jake. Ever since Jake from State Farm was on the phone with that guy 3 a.m. and his wife thought he was having an affair, I knew he was going to be a star, because at that point, if a guy is doing commercials and he's trying to get into acting, and yet he's working at 3 a.m. for State Farm. I mean, that's the kind of guy paying his dues right there. And
from State Farm looked much different back then, though. He it's almost like he was a different guy.
He was. He's big time now. He's turning to off the court issues. Portland is hiring Chauncey Billups as its next head coach. Mr. Big Shot, Chauncey Billups, as they say in Detroit. I think that's, you know, he's probably been in fact, I take it back. He almost took the Cavs job when LeBron was deciding what to do, and he wasn't going to take it unless LeBron stayed. I don't know if you remember this, but so he, you know, remained on TV, thought about it, and then took his time, and now proven leader, former Finals MVP, after serving as Ty Lue's assistant with the Clippers. I think he'll be great. You know, I don't think it's going to be. I don't know if they get to the finals with that roster anytime soon. But you know, and then now you're hearing these like rumors about trading
DJ McCollum,
Damian Lillard.
Well, CJ McCollum rumors are definitely circulating.
Someone said the Miami Heat were trying to offer Tyler Hero for Damian Lillard. I would think they would have to give up about 3 more players too. That's just me, but fans are crazy. They'll talk themselves into any deal, even though it doesn't make sense. Rick Carlisle, our friend, not out of work for long, resigning as Mav coach after 13 seasons. Carlisle returns to the Indiana Pacers 14 years after leaving the team, after Larry Bird hired him, his former teammate with the Celtics. I guess you can go home again.
Rick Carlisle.
You see the money, he got?
I did not. What did he get?
Oh, I'll look it up, but tell me what you thought about the move.
Well, you know, I'm a huge Rick Carlisle fan. I mean,
right.
As I am a huge Chauncey Billups fan as well. But with Rick, I mean, look, last week when we had Larry Brown on this show, okay, if you know, you'll remember, Carlisle coached the Detroit Pistons for a few years, and then he left to take the Indiana job back in 2003-04 season. And Larry Brown gave a lot of credit for the team that he took over from Rick Carlisle that won the 2004 NBA championship with Chauncey Billups, Mr. Big Shot, as the finals MVP. Rick Carlisle, he's kind of an old school guy, but he can coach. He knows what he's doing. I think Indiana made a great move. I think they made a terrible move last year when they fired Nate McMillan and they brought in Nate Bjorkgren, who was, I guess he was an assistant with Nick Nurse or whatever in Toronto.
Nate McMillan recovered pretty well.
Yeah, Nate McMillan is, I don't think he'll be the interim coach much longer in Atlanta. I mean, he's a terrific coach. And, you know, it's funny. You know, George Karl, another guy we've had on this show, I remember him singing Nate McMillan's praises, and he was like the best teammate on the team. And
oh yeah, when
Peyton was coming up, Nate told him, hey, look, Gary's the future. I'm not the future. Whatever we need to do to get Gary ready, I'm happy to come off the bench. So when a guy like that with that sort of character takes over a team, you know that they're headed for good things. So, and Carlisle, I have no doubt that Indiana is going to move up in the standings next year with Rick on the bench.
Yeah, Carlisle, as we know, left Dallas with multiple years remaining on his contract. He signed a four-year, $29 million deal. That's pretty good. I mean, 4 years, $29 million. That's 7.25 million dollars a year to coach a basketball team that hasn't gone to the conference finals since, 2013 or something, or the year that the Heat played them with Paul George. Oh my gosh, that's good money. Well, either way, the Celtics are hiring Ime Udoka.
Yes,
Ime Udoka is their new head coach. Do we like this move, Bruce Bernstein?
I do. I mean, I was kind of hoping for Chauncey, but I think, you know, Ime has had a number of years working for Greg Popovich. Okay. He was on their bench for a while. He was in Brooklyn, I believe, this past year on Steve Nash's staff. I think I got that right. Anyway.
Well, he made his bones, though, under Popovich, didn't he, in San Antonio?
Yeah, he was on their bench for 7 years working with Pop. So, look, when you have that sort of a coaching pedigree behind you, and apparently he has already had relationships with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. It just strikes me as a good move. He's got a good coach as his boss in Brad Stevens. So yeah. he should have a pretty good idea of the situation he's taken over. The ownership group in Boston's good. So I feel like, you know, Boston is definitely going to, you know, kind of, you know, reboot after this past miserable season. And again, we were talking about CJ McCollum a few minutes ago. There's some talk that Portland might consider something like Marcus Smart and Tristan Thompson for CJ McCollum. I don't know that the money.
What do you think of getting Marcus Smart? Or what do you getting rid of him? He's kind of a glue guy.
Marcus Smart is the emotional engine of that team. But you know what? If you know, he's going to be in the last year of his contract coming up. And I will always love Marcus Smart.
CJ McCollum's a talent.
Yeah, I mean, and CJ McCollum has 3 years left on his deal. You know, it's a big money deal. He's getting around 30 a year. But CJ McCollum, I think, is the kind of guy, after playing with Damian Lillard and doing very well in that role, I think he's not going to have any problem at all being like a second fiddle to Jason Tatum and maybe even a third fiddle to Jaylen Brown. So, Boston just has to kind of mix things up a little bit. You know, they got this young guy, Moses Brown. They brought back Al Horford, who's really kind of towards the end of his career, but is going to provide the kind of leadership that team, you know, locker room leadership they needed. So I feel pretty good about what the Celtics are doing there. And again, you know how it is when you've worked for Greg Popovich, you know how to play the game the right way, as our buddy Larry Brown would say.
I think one of the great things we haven't even mentioned is, and I think because we're at a point now where the first and the next aren't as big anymore. And so we're getting to a point where hiring an African-American coach or a Nigerian-American coach in the way Ime Udoka, like it's really immaterial in many ways. Is he the first Black coach the Celtics have hired since Casey Jones?
No, they had Doc Rivers.
Oh, duh. Duh. Okay, so since Doc Rivers, that's a while ago.
Yeah, it's like 8 years. I mean,
I was just thinking the other day, like it is pretty amazing. We already talked about that, like one of the NBA Finals coaches is going to be a Black coach. It's going to be Ty Lue or Monty Williams. And if somehow Nate McMillan's Hawks came back and I can't even remember when a Black coach faced off against another Black coach in the NBA Finals. What I think is cool is nobody's talking about it, because not that I don't think it's worthy of mentioning, especially if something like that occurs. What I'm getting at is, you know, it's like the NFL defensive end that came out last week as gay for the Raiders a couple weeks ago. Yeah, and he's like, sort of, look, I'm not an attention getter. I just think that representation and inclusion is big, and I'm throwing this out there. And I hope we get to a point where nobody has to make these videos, and it's not a big deal to come out. And I think that's where we almost are with Black coaches in the NBA, aren't we?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, Bill Russell was the first Black coach. Yes, he was a player coach, but that was more than 50 years ago. I mean, he took over after Red Auerbach retired after the 65-66 season, okay? And Boston, I think this is their sixth head coach. I mean, they've had Bill Russell, they've had Satch Sanders, they've had Casey Jones, they've had Doc Rivers, they've had ML Carr, they had somebody else, I think. Or maybe Udoka's the sixth head coach.
Yeah.
Maybe he's the guy. So, yeah, I mean, it's like the Black NFL quarterback thing. It's like, you know what? Who cares? You know, right. It's like Chris Mullin told us when you had him on a couple of years ago and you were asking him, hey, did you ever think of yourself as the Great White Hope? Or did people call it? He's there. Listen, I grew up in Brooklyn. All that mattered was, could you play or could you not play?
Yeah.
Coach or can you not coach?
Bird told me the same thing once like when I interviewed him when I was 25 years old in the last year of his career. He goes, you know, it don't matter. He's the way he said it was much better. It don't matter if you're from Kuwait or French Lick. If you grow to 6'9" and you can handle the ball and shoot it a little bit, you pretty much play anywhere.
Well, I think the whole African-American coach thing is now sort of like, I don't even look at it. And I haven't for a while, but the next one is going to be who will hire the first female coach. Is it going to be Becky Hammon? Is it going to be Teresa Weatherspoon? Is it going to be, you know,
Sarah Lawson?
That one is going to take a whole lot of courage from a team president and a general manager that will make.
You think so?
I do.
I don't know. I don't know anymore. I mean, I think it's a risk in that the person you want them to. You have to put them in a place to succeed. Like if you're taking over a bad team and you're a female coach, I think that's a recipe for disaster. I mean, I think that was the same with hiring Black coaches back in the day. I remember Butch Beard got the New Jersey Nets. They were the most dysfunctional team of all time. I don't know if Butch Beard could have became a great NBA head coach, or a good one or a bad one, but you didn't know because that was not the franchise that Butch Beard needed to start with.
The problem.
And he wasn't going to get another shot after that, unfortunately.
Well, see, here's what, you know, what happened. I mean, you know this better than anybody. When a team fires a coach and brings in a new coach, it's usually because they either A, have a bad team, or B, just had a bad season. So, you know, anybody who's taking over, who's getting their first head coaching job, generally is getting a quote unquote bad situation. So you really, that's why I say you really have to have a good front office who has a plan, who's not going to, you know, panic if the team starts out 2-10 and the fans are on Twitter saying, why did they hire this woman? She can't coach. That's why I say it's going to take courage. It's going to take a lot of balls for a management of a team to give a female head coach a chance. But you know what? What's that?
For a team to hire a female head coach, it's going to take a lot of uterus.
You know what else it's going to take? It's going to take the star player. I didn't think we were going anatomy on this conversation.
But it is pretty wild.
The star player on that team publicly saying, I supported hiring her, whoever her might be. And that's, you know, that's not easy. You know, it's going to be tough. I think it will happen. I know it will happen at some point.
I guess the next barrier broken will be a sports writer hired to actually coach an NBA team. That will be a barrier that probably stays for a while, I got to think. It's just me.
And what if it's a female sports writer? I think Barbie Barker could handle that. What do you think?
Barb would be great. Oh, Barb wouldn't take any crap either. It'd be great.
He'd be like, you know, you guys are running suicides today. You got out rebounded last night. Go.
Yeah. All right. Finally, the Detroit Pistons won the NBA draft lottery. We know them to be choosing Cade Cunningham, the Oklahoma State guard, who he's 6'7", 220. He's only 19. Did he lead the nation in scoring? I don't know if he did or not, but he was the most – He was just so smooth. Everything he did, the times I watched him on TV, which were probably five times, man, he was, you know, everybody says the Pistons tanked for him a little bit. I don't know if they did or not, but whatever. They got him, and he joins an interesting lot. Number two, the Houston Rockets, John Wall's new team, which just tanked, you know, just went into complete disarray. They're probably going to take Evan Mobley, the center from USC, 7 foot, 210, 19 years old, 7 foot, 210 pounds. How do you get, that's just a rail. I mean, I'm 6'4", 260. I'd love to see 210 again.
You're not going to see 210 again, Mike.
You don't think so, Bruce?
I'm
going to staple my jaw shut like that woman on Real World. This is the first.
You're very athletic, 6'4", 260, though. So I could see you dropping down. But I think 210 would be too light for you, Mike. I think
you're around right.
225. So
225 is good.
225 right, would be solid. You. Good base, pound the boards. Hey, listen, I'm happy for Detroit. Did you see Swin Cash's reaction when they got when New Orleans got the 10th pick? It was like a GIF online. Check it out.
Oh,
it's like,
man, I was like, oh. the luck of the Pelicans the last year, man. I'm still bummed that they got rid of Stan Van Gundy so quick.
Yeah. I mean, Stan, besides being a friend of the show, the reasons behind him leaving. And I think we talked about this with Larry last week.
Yeah. Too.
It kind of doesn't look good for Zion if people are saying that the reason they let him go with like 4 years left on his deal is because his people were
his people. Why? Yeah.
But that's the world we live in right now, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah, no, totally. All right.
Hopefully Detroit can, you know, bounce back. I saw them have some pretty good games last year. So I think, you know, the future could be bright there in Detroit. We'll hope for good things in Motown.
Well, by the time we reconvene, will the NBA finals have started or will they have just been?
I think they start July 8th, believe it.
So that's that Wednesday or whatever.
Yeah, Wednesday or Thursday.
Wednesday or Thursday. So we'll just make our picks next week.
Yeah, that's fine. But like I said, if it ends up being Milwaukee and Phoenix, I really look forward to hopefully seeing Giannis against DeAndre Ayton. The return of like the big dudes in prominent roles. I mean, I think
it'll be a good series either way. It'll be a good series. They great home crowds. And like the bottom line is, how do you get to be a star? How do you get to be somebody that the networks want to put on TV? You end up in the NBA finals. irrespective of whether you're from a small market. I mean, I know the Sacramento Kings did fairly well in the ratings when Chris Webber and Mike Bibby and Peja Stojakovic and Vlade Divac and those guys were running the floor. That was a fun team to watch. The Phoenix Suns and the Milwaukee Bucks are both fun teams to watch. So, they might suffer in the ratings this year, but when you become a known quantity, people want to see you, and it doesn't matter where you're from. People start buying your jerseys. I never thought the Golden State Warriors were ever going to be anything again, to be honest. And then all of a sudden, this number five pick, who couldn't even get a scholarship to Virginia Tech, they wanted him to walk on, went to Davidson, and he becomes, well, not only not only a future Hall of Famer, but he changed the game like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar changed the game. The dunk rule in college, the widening of the key, Steph Curry became like the analytics dream. You could three was better than two now. And so bottom line is, the Golden State Warriors are the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area is a large market, but I didn't see people wearing that jersey again all over the country, and now they are. And so we'll see what happens.
Well, listen, when it comes to the networks and ratings and whatever, here's something to keep in mind. If you have two big markets in a finals and it's a four or a five game series,
yeah,
the ratings don't, the ratings could be really good, but it doesn't mean a lot. But if you have a competitive series that goes seven games, that's much more important to the networks. And here's why. When it comes to advertising sales and whatnot, the NBA finals, you don't start making any money if you're ABC/ESPN until you get to a game five. And they say in the second half of game five, that's when you start making money. So if you had a four game sweep with two marquee teams, that's not nearly as lucrative as a seven game series with any two teams. So I think ABC ESPN will be very happy with a six or a seven game series between Phoenix and Milwaukee. They'll do a great job. There'll be plenty of interest in it. So I am not that concerned. The NBA will be just fine. And so will our former employer.
That was dope.
Time to wrap things up. Thank you, Bruce, for chopping it up with me. Please hit us with those promos.
Mike, it's always fun talking with you. Hopefully, we'll have even more to talk about next weekend. But I want to say thanks to our wonderful editor, Kristen Woolley, who's going to be going on vacation.
She's going on vacation when?
She's going on vacation next week, but we do have a very capable fill-in for her that will hold things down, help us get through the week that Kristen's away. So Kristen is heading to Disney with her family, her husband and kids, and I hope they have a wonderful time. So.
Yeah, Kristen, have a great time. And, I have some Disney. No, I don't. I don't work there anymore, no matter. I don't have any Disney tickets to get into.
Well, park. Kristen will be fine. She got hooked up a little bit. So
okay, good.
Check out all of our Pure Hoops Media shows, folks out there who are listening to us. Catch and Shoot 2.0 with Otto Strong and Aaron Berlin. They're here every Wednesday. And their guest this week is a very special guest. His name is Rob Peterson. He's one of the NBA editors at The Athletic, who has helped us book many of their writers on our different shows. And Rob is a Wisconsin native and a lifetime Milwaukee Bucks fan. He knows that franchise better than anybody. So
I'm
really looking forward to Rob visiting Catch and Shoot 2.0 this week. Buckets, Boards, and Blocks with Monica McNutt, King McClure. They drop on Thursday. BJ Armstrong and Eric Newman. Well, they have the Pure Hoops podcast each Friday. And, of course, my good pal Mike Wise is back with the Mike Wise Show every Monday. And please, if you want to listen to some great selected choice discussions from all of our shows, subscribe to our Pure Hoops Media Quick Hitters. And we also have a ton of great segments, video segments on our YouTube channel. The one Mike did with Larry Brown last week, folks, where he talked about Allen Iverson, was one of the best. And it's not that long. So I would urge you, go to YouTube, search for Pure Hoops Media, Mike Wise Show, Larry Brown. I know you'll enjoy that, Mike. So land the plane for us, would you?
I will indeed. And now that COVID-19 vaccinations are widely available, get one. If you're one of the misguided souls who haven't got a vaccination, keep wearing the mask in public so you don't get me or Bruce sick.
Or our kids, or our families, or our friends, or your friends.
And really, go get the shot. Yeah. It's not a political thing. It's a medical procedure, and it'll make all of us better. Keep your guard up and be smart. Until next time, aloha.
The Mike Wise Show used to be called The Wise Ass Show, but it remains a presentation of Pure Hoops Media.